Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 188 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm excited to bring you my interview with Andrew Wong. He writes for Food and Wine, among other publications. He's focused in Los Angeles, but he writes for California as well as he does a lot of coverage of Las Vegas. And I just wanted to catch up with him. This is a catch-up interview to see how he's doing, how he's coping with this, and also to see how things are going in Los Angeles. And if anyone has a finger on the pulse of the Los Angeles barbecue scene, it is Andy. And he gives some interesting information, and it's sobering and uplifting and a mix of a lot of different things. I really think you're going to enjoy it. I can't really describe exactly what it is, because we talk about a lot of different things, especially how restaurants are coping with this and the things that they're doing in innovative ways to cope with what's happening during COVID-19. This was recorded about two and a half weeks ago. I do mention Moose Craft Barbecue. At the time, they were doing curbside service. Currently, they're temporarily closed to take a step back and see how this is going to play out, but they will be back. And then I also mentioned that Slab is 7 days a week, and that they maybe would be paring their days down, but they've stayed at 7 days a week, and you could order via Postmates to get delivery from Slab. But again, I can't thank Andy enough for taking the time and for everything that he does for the food world and the barbecue world. This episode is brought to you by two sponsors, Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoak.com. You can ship a lot of their products, as well as you can visit them in Dripping Springs for product, as well as stuff from Alice's Restaurant to go, as well as grocery items. It's also brought to you by AJ's Custom Cookers. That's AJ'sCustomCookers.com. He makes pits and cookers and live fire stuff. You can check everything out on his social media as well as his website. Again, that's AJ'sCustomCookers.com. They're in Seguin, Texas. I have a website at Kevin'sBBQJoints.com. Tons of content. All these podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, a bunch of photo essays and blog posts and breaking news and lists of restaurants across the United States. Barbecue wise are open. Where to order meat and barbecue to be shipped nationwide. Lots of cool stuff. I'm on all the social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. But at the end, stay safe. I'll keep pumping these out. Hopefully give you a little bit of distraction. Thank you. Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, all things considered.
Yeah. Your family's okay?
Family's okay. Happy with what I have. I mean, we're just hunkered down in the valley with plenty of food in our freezer and the ability to order takeout and delivery whenever we want. So, like, we're on the lucky side of this right now.
I think that as long as we stay in that state, we can be okay. And the main goal is to stay away from other people, which it's still...
Yeah, no. As long as we can be in that state personally, we can be okay. And then there's lots of other things to think about, obviously.
When did you start hunkering down? Has it been a week now?
It's been more than a week. I guess officially on the 14th, we kept our kids home from school that day, even though school was not officially closed until the following week.
And that's my brother did the same thing.
Yeah. So yeah, since the 14th. So, I mean, days blend, but it's been like 12 days now, right?
Oh gosh. Yes. I guess it has been. I honestly do wake up now with not exactly knowing what day it is, which is bizarre.
Yeah. My wife showed me a tweet yesterday where somebody tweeted, you know, something like, today is Tuesday, which from now on will be known as day. Now,
that's fantastic. That's awful and fantastic at the same time. Yeah. And that's the only way really too, is like, how are you coping with this? Are you online a lot? Are you spending more time with the family?
I've got two young kids, so, you know, I'm helping them, you know, with their quote unquote homeschool during the day. I guess I'm running the homeschool. You know, young children eat all the time, so I'm feeding them a lot. I mean, I am still online a lot. And then like late at night, I'll get on Zoom and I'll talk to my friends, or, you know, I'll just sort of, you know, just like sit and try to relax. Although, you know, it's hard to have like a long attention span. So shooting the shit with your friends is fun right now. But yeah, I've had a hard time like reading long things, or, you know, being on Twitter a long time, or even watching an entire movie because I get distracted.
No. Same with me. Optimally, you'd want to power through a bunch of books right now, or catch up on the Oscar winners for the last 35 years.
Look, we're in this for a while. We'll probably get to that point because, you know, this is not going to be over, at least for Los Angeles, for a while. Mm-hmm. So the way that I see it is that, yeah, I may have time to go read, you know, the 1,200-page books that I haven't gotten to. But you know what? It's just not happening right now. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and that's true, too. And, like, also, there are times where I feel like I'm not accomplishing things or getting things done, and then I realize it is for the long haul. We are potentially here through June or July. We don't know. It's
So look, I mean, like, there's this collective grief right now, because it involves, like, maybe the world's changed and everybody wants to do something, but they feel helpless. So I just think that we collectively feel like we're all not doing enough because we can't leave, you know? But not leaving is the most important thing we can do, obviously.
Exactly. How has it affected what you do as a writer? And do you remember your last meal out? I think we had written each other that night. What you said, this is my last meal.
I went to Key Spaca for because Chris Costow, this great three Michelin starred chef from Northern California, was there. You know, it was a last minute invite. It was a very, very nice and kind invite, so I took it, even though at that point I was a little bit leery. And yeah, and it was this, very over the top meal where he was grilling spot prawns and he essentially made his version of prime rib. But it was strange because we all kind of knew, or at least most of us knew, that something weird was literally in the air. And it was kind of a communal dining experience where you're eating with your hands and people were passing around wipes. And it was just like, all right, the feeling of this being normal is gone already. And I just hope it comes back sooner than later. And obviously, like, it's probably going to come back later now.
Exactly. And I keep thinking too that, and I've discussed this with a number of people just via DM, that this it's probably the restaurants that will survive this, and hopefully more will survive. But I think that they're going to be able, they'll have a lot more in their repertoire with the delivery, with the curbside service, because some and the online ordering, gift cards, a lot of those things. But also too, it's going to a restaurant and being at a communal table, like being with friends. That's also what we love.
That experience is the reason that most of us go to restaurants. You know, there's a lot of people who don't care very much about food, but restaurants are their culture and their entertainment and their everything else. So yeah, I mean, I hope you're right that some or most of the restaurants will come back. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things going on in the world, and without substantial government intervention, or some things that change with how landlords deal with things or how insurance deals with things, it's like, I don't think we're going to get there, unfortunately. And obviously a lot of the biggest restaurateurs and chefs have been very vocal about this point,
Without a doubt.
So yeah, like, everybody's got a lot of time on their hands. So yes, call your representative. That's what everybody's saying. So do that if you're feeling helpless, and try to support the ones that are still here with takeout and delivery if you're comfortable to eat that way. And I totally understand if you're leery about it. If you're leery about it, maybe buy a gift card, maybe contribute to a GoFundMe for employees. Look, there's no answer about what you're supposed to do here, but if restaurants have given a lot to you, there are things that you can attempt to do to give back right now.
And small amounts. It doesn't have to be, it's a gesture of $100.
Look, I get people are struggling, but I get that, like, if you're somebody who's regularly going to restaurants, right, I'm sure at some point, they gave you free dessert, or they gave you a bigger plate of pasta, or you didn't tip quite as high as you probably should have. I mean, just pay some of that back. You can afford that if you can afford going to restaurants at all.
Definitely. And it's also too, it's because of what's happened, it makes you realize how big that industry is. And we're both involved with it in different and similar ways. But then once you start to see the breadth of what's happening, it's massive. And there's restaurants, I'm putting together sadly a list of restaurant closures just so people can see maybe the magnitude. And there's places that lay off 400 people, 130 people. That's a massive amount of
Yeah, there are
souls.
restaurant groups that I know that, had 1,000 employees, and now the employees, like, they have less than 50 employees right now,
That's crazy. And what are you getting? Are you getting a lot of messages from restaurateurs too? Are you engaging with them? Or and I know a lot of them are distressed beyond
I mean,
belief.
they are stressed, but I think it's this, collective grief and therapy. So yeah, I hear from a lot of them all the time. And we talk about how terrible things are, and we try to cheer each other up. And we make jokes, some that are appropriate and some that are inappropriate, because, like, that's what people in the restaurant world do. And it just, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely feel like, everybody, as more than one chef has told me, the thing that's different about this time is that literally everybody is in this together, because this has disrupted the entire economy of our country. And there are restaurants I know that have had terrible things happen to them, whether it's a kitchen fire, or some stupid delay where they ended up opening a year after they were supposed to. But that affected basically them and their staff and their investors. It didn't really affect any other restaurant, you know.
And restaurants are great at getting behind a situation. Say there's a tornado that goes through town, or there's an earthquake, or there's something, or fires. But this is, yeah, something that's nationwide and global. That's just...
No, I mean, restaurants are, yeah, and chefs are great at mobilizing whenever something is necessary. But, like, they... Yeah, they there's no easy solution for this one.
And with the timeline so... You know, that's so vague. We don't know when yeah. they'll be able to get back up and running. Are there restaurants that are within more of the category? Like you write about all like from the basic restaurant to the high end restaurant. But are there ones that are doing delivery now that weren't doing delivery in LA that is notable?
Yeah, I mean the LA Times just wrote about this, and this is something that I'm noticing too. It's like there's a lot of restaurants that were the super high end. Tasting menu restaurants that are now like just in Naka's making bento boxes for $38.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's if I live close.
Offering 3-course meals for $35. And then there's a lot of restaurants where you probably had a hard time booking, but now you can go online and go pick up a family meal from, Bevel. So
true.
There's a lot of stuff like that. And it's not just in LA, it's all over the country. So I would say that like, look, these are the restaurants that get a lot of attention. A lot of them have big PR machines, or at least, they have very connected friends. The restaurants that are busy, you should support your little neighborhood restaurant just as much, if not more. But yeah, if you've always been longing to eat whatever Naka's food and you just haven't been able to get a reservation, or you don't want to spend $400 all in on, food and alcohol, here's a way that you can do it now. It's not the same, but the thing that a lot of us worry about is like, we don't want this to be the last incarnation of these restaurants. So we want to support whatever it is they're doing.
Friend in Seattle, he was saying the same thing because they obviously Seattle was the epicenter for a little while. And it's still crazy, yeah. But New York now, everyone, the attention's at least more towards New York and Detroit. But he was saying there's a restaurant that he could never get a reservation for, but because of this, they're doing takeout. He's like, it was...
Yeah, I mean, like, Endless, which is a fine dining restaurant, I think they're selling bagels and, and they're operating as a drive-thru during the day and doing family meals at night. And again, it's not the same food, but it's clearly the same people and it's made with the same love.
And then they're also it's so interesting too how the restaurant world is so cagey and they can pivot on a dime, because there's restaurants that are doing, at least in Texas for sure, that are doing like complete grocery lists, like you can get your eggs and your milk because they have purveyors that they deal with, or toilet paper.
I just ordered it's coming today, some pastries from Valerie Gordon at Valerie Confections. Oh. And she set up a marketplace, so I also am getting butter and eggs and avocados from her. So,
oh, that's really cool. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you could utilize them, like I drove by a Ralph's recently, and there's a line of people. They're now, I think, staggering entry into.
Yeah, I mean, like you go to the we both live in the valley, so you go to the Ralph's on Coldwater, and you're just you can't really get into the parking lot on some days. Drive a little further down into Sherman Oaks, you can go to the Joint Seafood Market. And he's got produce now, he's got eggs, he's got organic milk. And yeah, it might cost you a little bit more money, but what's your time and your safety worth at this point,
And a lot of the markets that are smaller, they need your business to survive.
No, and that's the thing that I would say, right? If you can't find these things at Gelson's or Bristol Farms, because Gelson's and Bristol Farms are their customers tend to be the type of people who can buy out lots of things and hoard because they have the means. Go to the closest Mexican grocer, or go to the closest Asian grocer, or go to the discount grocer, because chances are you'll be able to find things.
Oh, without a doubt. How is this? I'm sure for you too, having to write. Are you still on a schedule? Are you writing? I saw something recently. Are you weekly? And are you trying to not always focus on the obvious story?
So look, I mean, honestly, I don't know what I'm doing at this point, right? I mean, in theory, in reality, I'm writing for more places than I've ever been, right? I picked up a few outlets, I'm hashtag blessed. I'm just writing where it's appropriate because, not to get super personal, but again, like this thing affects all of us. And without even revealing what this is, I signed an offer letter for a new gig, I think on March 14th. Mm-hmm. This is something that theoretically I could have started the following week, but because obviously of issues related to everything that's going on and things that they couldn't send me. They couldn't really onboard me until March 30th, right? And I'm like, okay, fine, not a big deal. And then I was like, hey, my kids have spring break the following week, so I don't really want to work for a week, go on spring break. That's disruptive to you and to me. Let's just figure out the closest date after spring break. And they said, okay, April 14th. And I'm like, okay, fine. But now I'm in this limbo because I don't know actually what's going to happen on April 14th. And yes, I'm going to be somewhat troubled if this job doesn't come to fruition on time. But that's actually, you know, a minor concern given everything else that's going on. But I'm just saying it's like, so the answer is, I'm writing mainly, you know, I'm writing for the same reason that a lot of chefs are still cooking, right? Where it's as much of a coping strategy and a desire to do something than it is to be like, this is now something that is viable that will sustain me for a long time. Because, like, look, if all the restaurants disappear, you know, not all of them are going to disappear, but if a lot of the restaurants disappear, I don't know what food media looks like.
Mm-hmm. It was growing so much.
Yeah. I mean, see, look, I just touched my face, but at least I'm alone and I've been born.
Exactly.
And the reason that I don't know is that, like, there was a dinner on March 25th that I was supposed to cover for Zagat, you know, like with two, you know, great chefs, you know, and I admire both of them very much. That dinner obviously got canceled, right? Mm-hmm. March 30th was the LA Chef Conference. I was moderating a panel, but more important to me, just in terms of my income, I was also covering that for Food & Wine, and I was writing more than one story, so that income is gone too. I can write other stories, obviously, to sort of offset that, but this is just a weird time because you want to write things that just aren't tone deaf. And I also had a couple of stories that were already assigned that obviously that I just like self-killed because it's like this would be the dumbest time in history to turn this in because these stories essentially are about like you should go to this restaurant and here's why you should go to this restaurant. And that version of that restaurant obviously doesn't exist now. And I hope, you know, in the future it will exist again and I can revisit it. But I can't write that story the same way anymore, you know?
No, not at all. And none of us can. And hopefully you can. Hopefully that's something that you could shelve and bring back.
Yeah, no, and we'll see. No, so I'm trying to write stories that, you know, like, you know, tell the unvarnished truth about like what's going on, but also don't just depress people, right? Mm-hmm. So I wrote something about Rice Bar coming back to life because it's just sort of it's a story about one chef, Charles Olalia, but it's really a story about so many chefs who are just in their kitchen alone trying to figure it out. I have a story about to come out that's about a restaurant from a very prominent chef in Northern California that this was supposed to be their opening week. They're supposed to open for dine-in yesterday, and they opened for takeout instead, and it's one of the most anticipated restaurants in the country. And obviously there's a story where he's like, well, I still got to do this. I actually recorded the Air Jordan podcast yesterday, and we were with a restaurateur who talked about how he said that, you know, the next day he was supposed to open a restaurant in Manhattan, which means he was supposed to open it today. And 2.5 weeks ago, it still seemed like a possibility. And now he's like, well, obviously it's irresponsible to open it for dine-in anytime in the foreseeable future. Maybe I can order it for takeout and delivery, but I don't know what the answer is right now. Because, you know, Manhattan is just very dangerous right now.
Well, and it's interesting, too, that a lot of restaurants that I talked to that have closed, you would think that they could have opened for takeout and delivery, but their business model doesn't make sense. They can't sustain themselves. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't work. I mean, it helps that now you can sell cocktails and wine and have that delivered. But no, the economic model doesn't make sense for a lot of these places. And the thing that you need to know about a lot of these places is they're doing it largely to, you know, be able to pay some employees, to give some employees health insurance, you know, as a coping strategy. They're not like doing this because they think this incremental money is going to like, you know, change their life in any way. In some cases, they're not even taking any of the money. In some cases, chefs and restaurateurs have been public about how it's going to cost them less money if they just close, but they have to stay open because it's not just about them.
And then it all depends, I guess, on their landlords and whether or not they lose the space, right? If they have to close for those reasons.
Yeah, no. And like, you know, the flip side of it, right, is that if this thing plays out the way that everybody expects, you know, or a lot of people expect, there's going to be many opportunities for people to open a restaurant because you're going to have prime spaces like whatever on Abbot Kinney Boulevard in Venice, on Sunset in Silver Lake and in West Hollywood, right?
For sure.
Anywhere, you know, any neighborhood you're looking at on Ventura where you could open. But the problem is the economy, you know, like the economic impact going to be so devastating by that point that the idea of going to restaurants is something that most people just don't mm-hmm. want to do or can't even do anymore.
Yeah, we're in such of a recession that people aren't going to restaurants.
Right. I don't know the answer to that. Like, look, and we could talk about this forever and it could get really depressing. But I guess this is what I mean about when you're on with the chefs, like you got to start making jokes
mm-hmm.
because it's like you can't just think about this because you literally you'll give up.
No, and that's how it is with anybody, even that I'm texting. It's like you can go down a rabbit hole. You could forward tweets that are so negative and so disappointing and so sad that you can go down that route. But then in the end, what's that going to do? It's not going to help you make it through the day.
Yeah. What's the barbecue community been saying to you overall?
They've been thankful that I've been trying because I had just relaunched my website and my blog, and so it gave me the opportunity to start putting together lists to start highlighting these restaurants that are still open and how they're moving to like drive through. But it's for them. A lot of them have closed, and a lot of them are really struggling, and they're closing for maybe a week. Like Slab, now they've shut down this week, I think, just to regroup and figure out what they want to do, because it might not be sustainable to be open 7 days a week just for takeout or just for Postmates. A lot of them are struggling, but a lot of them too, it's interesting. Like someone like Moose, you can order online. They're having it so that you can pick up curbside. A lot of the barbecue places too are doing vacuum seal, which is a huge thing that I had never, and I'm working on a piece on vacuum sealing. They're about as tenacious as it gets, and they're pretty scrappy. A lot of them have started like, you know, doing these underground pop-ups or catering gigs forever. And a lot of them have just become brick and mortars in Texas. And that's really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
So it's similar, but different because they may be able to go back to do, cause some of them are doing this part-time, but a lot of them have just recently pushed to full-time. And that makes me sad because a lot of them at that moment.
Yeah, it's such an exciting moment for Texas.
A huge moment.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a very prominent food writer, and he was messaging me before all this happened, like, hey, do you want to come to Texas with me and just eat around for a week? Because his plan was to spend several weeks this summer, you know, basically reporting on what this new barbecue is because there's so much going on, obviously. You know, just like with, you know, the Mexican-American rifts and some mm-hmm. of these young kids and some of these people that are even like doing things that aren't really Texas-style barbecue, but they're also doing Texas-style barbecue at the same time.
Well, and adding there's an Asian flair now.
Exactly. The Asian stuff. I mean, a lot of it is just freestyle, and it's just such a moment to do this. And now, of course, the concern is it's like we weren't going to go until July, August. Is it even going to make sense in July, August? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be a time in my mind. It's pre-COVID and post-COVID. That's kind of how this life will be. And a lot of them too, they probably, like I'm wondering too, like what will, so I was telling people, I'm like, oh, I can make great coffee now. So maybe I don't even know what I'm like, who knows what you're going to be doing. It's a weird thing. It's something that I think I try to be as positive. I'm taking care of my mom, who's 74 years old, who's been through 4 surgeries in 3 years. So I'm trying to keep her as isolated. So it's like you have those things in mind and you have your family in mind to keep them safe, but you also want to be productive and then also help your friends. It's just a
you want to contribute, you know, like you're doing this. You've done this whole podcast series and you have your website and your social media because you want to sort of create things and actually drive attention to the things that matter. So, of course, you're going to want to do it more than ever now.
So what would you recommend for restaurateurs right now? If they're listening, like, I'm sure they're thinking about a million different things, but I guess they can't really reach out to you or to the media to get attention. It's more so just,
I mean, they can, but I mean, honestly, I've got no good advice for them.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know why I asked.
No, but it's like a lot of them are very good at social media and they're working it on social media. A lot of them have obviously greatly expanded their delivery ranges, you know, or even going to like different neighborhoods. Like Ricebox is very, very smart. You know, they're this Cantonese barbecue place in downtown LA, and they're just posting on their social media. It's like, hey, on this night we're going to be in the San Gabriel Valley. Hey, on this night we're going to be on the West Side, and we're going to be near the LAX airport. And so they open themselves up to a different audience. So I think you know, what they're doing is very smart. And obviously a lot of these places have pivoted where they're kind of grocery stores as well. So I think that, like, I don't have any good advice, because all the things that I could possibly tell them are things that they've already figured out themselves, because they're just throwing every idea at this thing right now.
Have you talked to David Chang? I was wondering what's happening with Major Domo. Are they doing delivery or takeout?
No, I have not talked to him. Major Domo in LA is just shut. He's obviously been very vocal on social media about how the government needs to help. You know, he just closed in Vegas too, because Vegas is essentially shut down. He closed in New York. So, I mean, yeah, but that's the point, right? A lot of the biggest restaurateurs, like, they're just closed right now. And you look at, like, Tom Colicchio, Andrew Carmelini, all the type of people, Naomi Pomeroy, all the type of people who've been writing things that are in the national newspapers, mm-hmm. You know, first two were in the New York Times, and then I think Naomi was in the Washington Post. These are people that, like, they don't just run one restaurant, you know. They essentially are the people who, like, for years and years have been dominant in their cities, and they don't know what to do. So Chang may be the most prominent one, but, you know, he's not in a better position to figure this out than anybody else, because it doesn't seem like you can figure it out like that.
Yeah, and I was thinking, because Vegas too is so, and you've been going to Vegas more than a lot of people, and that's gone, like, for at least for months and months. It's just amazing, because it involves being with a lot of people, and they rely on that.
I mean, Vegas may reopen sooner than a lot of people think, and sooner than it should. I've actually seen some projections for hotels, but I think the idea of Vegas is kind of gone for a while, mm-hmm. whether things open or not, you know?
They might be able to do thermal imaging. They might be able to do things that maybe they have them, they can invest the money.
Like the biggest gatherings, right? Like Electric Daisy Carnival, which apparently still hasn't been canceled yet.
Oh my gosh.
And the World Series of Poker, which apparently still hasn't been canceled yet, although I'm not sure, these things change on a daily basis. Yeah. I can't think of better / worse examples of having a lot of people in close proximity to one another in a way that they could spread a deadly virus, you know? So the idea of doing those things, and, you know, and I've been fortunate or stupid enough to have done both of those things before. And, you know, part of it is like, whatever, I may be older now, but the other part of it is just like, it just seems so tone deaf to have a desire to want to do something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, you are in the World Series of Poker?
I've played in the World Series of Poker a few years. I mean, it's not a big deal. Lots of people play in the smaller
tournament. No. I didn't know that you had, that poker was a passion of yours as well.
No, I mean, that's one thing that's actually been nice. And I mean, like, I actually talked about this. I can't even remember. Like, I talk about this a lot because it's like a big part of my life now. I've been playing poker with friends where we Zoom, you know, and then we play on our phones, on our iPads. And it's been one of the things.
I saw some people on, like, some celebrity, a picture of that, of some celebrities, and I thought, how did they do that? So that makes sense. They do it on their iPad.
A lot of people are doing that. There's literally a game that I'm invited to every single night now because people are stir crazy.
So I figured there was some technology that was working to make it make sense, but okay.
But here's the thing, right? That being able to play for virtual money, right, on all these different sites and apps, that's existed for a long time. The difference with what's happening now is that we're doing this because we miss each other, you know, as much as we miss the idea of poker, right? Like, there's a game, right, that I play in where there's one rule, right? You can do whatever the fuck else you want, but the one rule is no Zoom, no seat. Because this isn't that you're just playing online poker. This is, yo, we want to see each other, mm-hmm. and we want to shoot the shit. And if you're just here to play poker, go do that somewhere else. You can find games everywhere else. It's like, no. This is legitimately like you missed your friends and you want to talk to them because they were the ones that sort of helped you decompress every week, and we need that more than ever now.
Oh, yeah. Well, now half the reason why I wanted to do this with you was because we had been planning to go to Brother Sushi for so long, and I just wanted to see you and see how you were doing.
Yeah, no, same. And it's like, look, you know, oh, yeah, but support Brother Sushi.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, they are now at this point where they're like even like sending you kits where you can make, or they're – I'm doing takeout kits where you can make hand rolls at home. You know, they're adjusting.
Yeah,
you know,
Brother Sushi, Woodland Hills. I'll put links to all the places we've discussed. And if there's any place that you ever want me to promote or that you think needs a nudge, I want to assist people as much as possible.
Look, I mean, I don't want to start naming all of them because all of them need a nudge, you know? And this is the thing. And so the ones that we're talking about organically, yes, help them. But yeah. Just look around your neighborhood and see what's open. Go back and look at the restaurants that you've always wanted to go to that you haven't been able to, because chances are you can order takeout from them. Or, you know, think about the restaurants where if you're in a certain neighborhood, you would always stop there, but it was just inconvenient for you to go there all the time. There's no traffic in LA right now. You can go pick takeout.
Yeah.
You get takeout from them probably in 15 minutes right now.
And it's important. It's important too, to, you can get in your car and drive around without getting this virus. So drive around safely. Don't get in a car accident, but just drive. It helps you mentally. And actually too, it is a weird phenomenon. The air does seem cleaner now that there's not as many people driving.
The air is cleaner.
It's just so sad. It's just that it took something like this. And also too, whenever I would see a movie with like Contagion or something with an outbreak, I always thought, I wonder what the world would be like. Like, I never thought that we'd actually be living in it.
Yeah.
It's wild. It really is wild. Well, thank you for taking the time and thank you for doing what you do. And I just, if there's anything you need, let me know at any time.
Yeah, no, same. All right. It's good talking to you as always, Kevin.